So on social media, I happened to see this meme this week that I thought was kind of funny. We'll see how up with current events you are. And it showed a picture of a yellow bug, and it was advertising beer, and it had a big beer bottle on the top, and it said, "Oh, I have found the Corona bug for Corona beer." I was like, oh. So I want to talk just a second about the coronavirus. If you're paying attention to the news, it's very scary. Very scary. And the first person, and I don't want to discount it. People are dying. That is not good. But I believe it was just in the last day or two, the first person in the United States has actually passed away from the coronavirus. And there's fears that it's highly contagious. Not enough is known about it yet. No vaccines have been developed. There's not any kind of medicines currently that will take care of it. They're working on it. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the reactions to this. The stock market has nosedived because of the concerns of the coronavirus and its effects on our global economy. People are wearing surgical masks in public. You're seeing them when they're on the airplanes. They've got their little blue masks or trying to protect themselves. I actually found that 38% of beer drinking Americans will not buy Corona beer because of the coronavirus. Okay, education is needed, but nevertheless, maybe that's good. We'll let it go. France has banned kissing people. You know how they kiss on the cheek and they greet? Oh, no. That is not to be done right now because we don't know for sure how this is being passed. Well, maybe it was just greeting people you're not married to. Good question. Schools are closing down. Has anybody read about some of the cruise ships that have been denied from coming into port? And so they've had to go back out into the waters for like 2 weeks. You better like your neighbors because you're going to be with them for 2 more weeks. All right, there's been some travel restrictions. Some airlines will not fly to like China. I think I read in California, people are like buying all the bottled water. They're just stocking up. It's like the apocalypse or something that's coming. Public places are closing down, especially in some of the foreign countries, like museums and open-air food markets, which where they're selling bats is probably a good thing because, anyway, that's kind of a problem. There was actually 2 brand new hospitals in China being created because this coronavirus is very serious, and quite a few people in China actually have died. And so far, they're saying the coronavirus might be a little more deadly than flu. We don't know yet, but they're taking it pretty serious. So let's talk about a serious disease in the Bible. How many Bible stories? Tell me a Bible example of a Bible story that you know about leprosy. None. Okay, awesome. How about Naaman?
Miriam.
Miriam got it for a little while, and she had to go outside the camp. Actually, Moses, there for just a few minutes, he got it. The Lord said, stick your hand in your cloak and pull it out, and there was leprosy. There's several stories about leprosy in the Bible. Actually, one of my daily readings this past week was about Jesus and a leper. And it kind of just really stood out to me. And so I have a few lessons that the Lord worked on me about, and I'd like to share them with you. So Jesus had come down out of a mountain, and he entered into a certain city. And this story is told in 3 different gospels. And the leper came, and he knelt before Jesus. He fell on his face before Jesus. He's begging Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. So what do we know about leprosy? Well, it's a little bit hard to know for sure because today's leprosy, it's thought, may not be exactly the same as leprosy was in the Bible. For instance, in the Bible, if you had ringworm, psoriasis, eczema, a lot of different skin conditions, they say you might have leprosy. We're going to quarantine you for a while to make sure. So, but some of the things here I'm going to try to talk about is some generalities about leprosy. It is believed to be the oldest recorded disease and very contagious, although they really didn't know exactly how back there in Bible times. So the Bible dictionary tells us it would often begin with some spots on your eyelids and on the palms of your hands, and it would start to spread. You would get lumps all over your body. Your hair and your nails would start to fall off. You would get some bald spots. Parts of your eyebrow would disappear. Your nose would start, the cartilage there in your nose would start to kind of shrink and be eaten away. And so there would be some facial disfigurement. Hoarseness, because you would get sores on your vocal cords. It was often compared, your voice would sound like a dog growling. great attribute to have. Skin became reddish, white. The disease actually, now some people said it would eat away at the bones. Some people said it eats at the tissue in between the bones. But nevertheless, what happens is you'll see this curled of the hands and the feet, because it looks, and it looks like actually maybe the fingers have fallen off and they're actually being curled up because of the disintegration that's going on inside here from this disease. You lose feeling. There's a numbness that goes along with that. And some of these leper colonies that you read about in some real poor countries, it's actually been known that in the night, because there's rats and vermin in there and it's not very sanitary, and the rats have actually come and ate part of the fingers off and they never was realizing it because of the numbness. Now, God gave very detailed instructions on how to deal with a leper. If someone thought they had leprosy, they had to go and they had to see the priest and they had to be examined to see if they had leprosy. And if they thought you might, if they thought you did, here's some things that the law, Old Testament law, said you had to do. First of all, you had to wear torn clothes all the time. You had to let your hair hang loose. You had to cover your upper lip, so kind of like a mask. You had to live outside the camp. You could not live with your family, your wife, your kids. You lived in a leper colony with other lepers. You had to live out by yourself. You had to wear bells on your clothes so people knew when you were coming. If you saw another Israelite, you had to holler, "Unclean! Unclean!" Not a Gentile. I guess that wasn't quite as important, but if you saw another Israelite, you had to remain 6 feet away from all other humans that did not have leprosy, including your family. And if the wind was blowing, 150 feet. Just to be safe. If you had this disease, you were unclean for the rest of your life, or until the priest examined you and possibly it had healed, or maybe they had misdiagnosed you. It was considered incurable. It was second only in seriousness to touching a dead body. You touched a dead body in Old Testament times, excuse me, you would have to go through like a purification, cleansing ceremony, but the leprosy, to actually touch a leper, was considered second only to seriousness and touching a dead body. I think we can all see that it was a very serious disease, and if you received it, it was just almost like a death sentence. In fact, I think I read later on, past Bible times and medieval times, if you had leprosy, they would actually hold a funeral for you because you were considered dead to your family. You could not be with them. They couldn't talk to you, touch you, be with you, and they would actually hold a funeral for you. And so leprosy was a very, very serious, terrible thing. And so in Luke 5 and 12, we read that this man was full of leprosy. That says to me he's full-blown. Full-blown symptoms, there's no doubt about it. You see him, you know what's going on. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Matthew 8 and 1 says great multitudes were following Jesus. Now, we don't know for sure, but I can almost imagine that when Jesus got to this leper, there wasn't a great multitude with him any longer. No doubt this leper didn't smell very good as the flesh is decaying and inside is starting to disintegrate. Plus the fact that he's very sick, probably can't take good care of himself. We don't have family there taking care of him. It's just another leper wherever he's living. So he probably didn't smell very good. He's an outcast society. In fact, there was, I think if I recall correctly, in our Bible reading, Brother Steve and I were going through a commentary, and they were saying that some rabbis actually would throw stones at them to keep them away. So here comes this very sick man who's not supposed to be mingled with society. And if any of the teachers would see him, they would throw stones at him to tell him to get away. So as this leper approaches Jesus, it is obvious he is sick. It is obvious he's an outcast. It's obvious he's one that no one wants anything to do with. And he's got to be calling out, if he's obeying the law, unclean, unclean. And what did Jesus do? Well, in Matthew 8 and 16, we read that he cast out spirits with a word. We know just one word, Jesus could do anything. In fact, the world was created. He spoke it into existence. But this leper came, and Jesus did not speak a word. Matthew 8 and 3, Jesus put forth his hand, not a finger, his whole hand, and he touched him. Mark 1 and 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and he touched him. Luke 5:13, and he put forth his hand and he touched him. Compassion caused Jesus to do more than just speak. Everybody else is avoiding a leper. They're not even going to speak to him. They're going to avoid him. Some are throwing stones at him. Jesus might have thought, wow, I'm going to speak. That'll be much better than what everybody else is doing. No, he reaches out and touches him, which is considered absolutely a no-no in this culture. He spoke kindly to him. And what did this interaction with Jesus do for this leper? It changed his life. Yeah, it healed him. It did heal him. But I just can imagine Jesus putting that hand forth, if I could for a moment with Brother Gabe, putting his hand forth and touching the leper. Not touching with one finger, but that whole hand touching him with love and with compassion. You're unclean. You're an outcast. Nobody wants anything to do with you, but I love you. I care about you. And my title is, Who is Unclean? Now, we don't know of anybody that has leprosy. At least I don't. I don't think anybody in here has it. So let's talk about a spiritual application. Who might be considered unclean in my opinion? Maybe in your opinion. Maybe it's a misfit, somebody that just doesn't fit in. They're just odd. They are just as odd as can be. And if I go hang out with them, people are going to think I'm odd. So, I think I'll stay away. Maybe they're a little quirky. Maybe they don't wear deodorant. I mean, hey, it's real. Somebody's not wearing deodorant. It's a little struggle sometimes. And you're just thinking, okay, got to pretend. Perhaps they're very dirty. Not too long ago, there was a homeless man here. Someone told me he was homeless. It came to church service. He looked a little rough. And I thought, you should go up and greet them. And I didn't get a chance or an opportunity. But do we pull back because they look like they need to get their hair cut and get a bath and they don't smell too good? They're sick? Don't breathe on me. That coronavirus. Do not even. Mm-mm. Now, I mean, I'm not telling you to go be foolish, okay? We're not going to go and hug people that have got the plague. Hopefully they're staying home. How about someone who has a bad attitude? And you don't want that to rub off on you. Yes, and it's not good that you become their best friend. But are we avoiding them? Yeah, them and their attitude. When they get it straightened out, then we can talk. But until then, I am not. No. Mm-mm. Unclean. 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 What about somebody who has a bad reputation? Do you know what they did? 7.5 years ago? Whew. I mean, it was bad. Unclean. Unclean. Now, I know we're not supposed to keep bad company. Absolutely not. Do not make your best friend somebody who is on the verge of going to jail because they're always shoplifting and doing all these other things. But nevertheless, I think if we're not, we got to be careful. We put them over there. I still keep thinking about our story about the Sneetches. There's us and there's them. Dr. Seuss story. We're all God's children. And that leper who was dirty, unclean, and sick, he desperately needed that hand of compassion. Think about someone who's poor or maybe someone who made fun of you. You're like, you know what? Fine. Unclean. Unclean. You want to be like that? Two can play that game. Everything I'm saying to you, for the most part, I've thought once or twice in my life, in my growing up years, and sometimes in my older years. There's always some people that maybe it's a little harder to reach out to than others, or to touch, or to have a kind word for. How should we treat people that maybe that unclean word could apply to? It seems kind of harsh when we start examining it. But I'm only saying this because God worked with me this past week on something. I was kind of exhibiting a little bit of this behavior or heading toward it. And God checked me and I thought, wow, thank you. In Mark 7:24, we read that Jesus traveled to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So this was an area that was considered unclean. It was outside the promised land. It was a bunch of heathens. bunch of pagans. In fact, it was bitter enemies of Israel. These people, the Jews, didn't have much good to say about them. They were at enmity with each other. They've been fighting. Jesus intentionally traveled between 30 and 50 miles because there was someone there he knew had a need. And we know he didn't have a car or a bicycle or a plane or a train or all that. More than likely, he was walking. 30 to 50 miles, he went to this area that was unclean. Well, what was the story? He went to a particular house, and there was a woman there whose daughter had an unclean spirit, and she needed help. This woman was not a Jew. Look how far he went out of his way. And I think about, am I willing to go a little bit out of my way for that person that's just a little different? Maybe there's a put-offishness about them. Maybe, like the Sneetches, they got the green star and I don't. And we're, look, you know, I'm concentrating on that one or two things that makes them different than me. Maybe it's somebody that it feels like they're an enemy for some reason. This was an enemy of the Jews. The devil can put these things in our mind. Well, they've talked about you and they've said this and they've done that and they've mistreated you, and just avoid them for a while. Unclean, unclean. What about the person that's sitting all by themselves? Sometimes I see that in youth group. Sometimes that was me. Sometimes it was you. And you almost just feel like that. You feel a little bit ostracized, like for some reason nobody's reaching out to me today. And there's times it's your turn to reach out. So we can't all just sit there and be hoping somebody reaches out to us. Sometimes it's our turn to reach out. But what about the person who's awkward and always says the wrong thing? Sometimes that was me. How about the person that irritates you to no end? Just like, unclean, unclean. Drives me crazy. I can't be around them. What about somebody who's not saved? Oh, can't be around them. Unclean, unclean. Maybe the person who you heard making fun of you. Somebody that never stops talking. I could go on and on and on about the things that we avoid in certain people. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get the mirror out and I'm like, unclean. I mean, I've irritated. I've actually made fun of people in my time. What? Yeah, very shameful. I've actually probably had BO a time or two. I've had been awkward and said the wrong things. I've been mean to people sometimes. There was a time I was not saved. Every single person, every single thing on this list at one time could apply to me. But there were people in my life who reached out with that hand of compassion and said, I love you. I care about you. I love you. What can I do to help you? And this week when I read this verse about Jesus, not just touching with a finger, not just speaking with the word, but reaching out with his entire hand to someone and considered unclean that everybody else was avoiding. And God began to say, whoa, you got areas you need to work on. You got areas you need to work on. And the thought came to me, the next time the choir sings, make me more like you, Jesus, you better not raise your hand if you're looking at some people like this and holding them at bay. Not willing to reach out like you should. Make me more like you, Jesus. You do know Jesus ate with sinners? He touched lepers. He actually talked to a woman at the well. It was very taboo for teachers, rabbis to speak with women. But this woman got around. She was on the fifth man and he wasn't even her husband. And yet Jesus took time and talked with her, interacted with her there at the well, and helped her find the true water. He asked a tax collector, a hated profession. They hated people that were tax collectors because they usually were stealing. He asked a tax collector to be one of his disciples. Make me more like you, Jesus. Now, he wasn't putting his stamp of approval on their sins, on their behaviors. He was showing them love. And I thought to myself, are there people I'm avoiding? Maybe not intentionally, but as I started searching myself, I'm like, whoa, I need to work on this. They need a touch. How are you doing? Maybe it's a word of appreciation. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe they just need me to spend a little bit of time with them. A touch might change someone's life. That scripture just challenged me to no end. And I thought, Lord, let me just bring that to the young people. This has probably been less about you and more about me as God has been working on me. Be careful that you don't consider people unclean. Appreciate your good attention. Thank you.